Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone.
It's good to be.
Enough from the peanut gallery. We're blessed with another opportunity to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And in our Sunday morning series, we've been talking about our Christian walk and how that each and every day we are encouraged, we are to be just like Jesus. We are to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. We are to be just like Jesus. He is, how many times do we see in the scriptures, our example? He is the ultimate example for us, for our lives. And so as we endeavor to keep Christ in our life, to keep Christ in Christian, we're looking at several different personalities, several different characteristics of Jesus. Today, we're going to look at his compassion. So if you have your Bibles handy, I know I will have the first two slides up on the screen, the verses. But in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." Jesus, as he went about and as he went through his day in, day out ministry, he was not afraid to be bold. He was not afraid to tell people the truth, to tell people about the gospel. Even when it came to the point of stirring up trouble amongst those various religious teachers, Jesus still taught it. But what is uncommon, like what we really in our human mindset don't understand, is that there was never a point where Jesus got to where he was unkind, where he did not have a heart full of compassion. There were times where he was very passionate about what was happening, about the wrongs that were taking place, and he let them know. But when Jesus looked at all the crowds, he noticed something. He didn't see all the distractions. He didn't see all the interruptions. He saw people. Notice what he says there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. He saw people as having no shepherd. You know, I want us to kind of relate to this, to be able to think about this in our own common everyday language. Picture yourself out in a very busy rush hour traffic scenario. Anyone ever been there? Yeah, we all have. So when we look out at all the cars that are zooming about, passing around, all you see is traffic moving along, or, you know, parking lot standing still. We don't think about the people that are in those cars. We don't think about the stories or the things that they're going through per se. We just think about, oh, that's just another person that I got to get around and keep going my way. But Jesus, he didn't see the crowd just like that. Jesus saw the individuals. He saw them with their broken lives. He saw them with all the pain and all the struggles that they were going through. And so if we want to understand Jesus' compassion, we first need to understand who the crowds are. We need to understand where they are in their life and the condition that they face. And so when we look at the specific condition of the crowds, notice back in our text that Matthew says that they were weary and scattered. Now, your translation, if it's the New American Standard or such, may say distressed and dispirited. The idea, obviously, we're talking, these are both terms that we can relate to as far as I want us to think of them as the shepherd and the sheep, because Jesus brings that into here. Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. The fact that they were weary, the fact that they were distressed, shows that they, you know, had gone through so much. It's like, you know, picturing the sheep who gets out, or rather wanders away. He goes out into the wilderness. Maybe he's hunted down by some predator. He becomes the prey, or possibly even gets trapped. At the point of the distressing, there's nowhere to go. He's stuck. Or the fact that, you know, the scattering is literally the dispirited, thrown down, cast down. And so when Jesus saw the people, he saw them both spiritually and physically weighed down. He saw them spiritually like they were a sheep without a shepherd. They had been misled. They had been forgotten. They had been pointed in the wrong direction, the direction that was heading towards a spiritual death. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doings, says the Lord." God sees his people going through difficult time. He sees people who need healing, who need to be found, who need direction, spiritually lost. He also, again, seen them physically hurting. They were sick. They were going through various different things that were happening in their life. And Jesus' heart went out to them. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, that's another one of Matthew's accounts, says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and began to heal their sick." Anytime we see this where Jesus is brought, where his compassion is brought to the surface, he does something about it every time. There's never a time where we don't see him respond to that. But I want you to think about this, and again, in the practical mindset. I remember when we were young, we used to always go to Adventureland every year. During the summertime, it was hot. And one particular year, we were supposed to meet at kind of the gate area, you know, right before that train goes over the road, you know. And I can't remember how old I was, but all I remember is we were lost and we had no idea where anyone was. And it reminds me of the fact of sometimes, you know, you'll hear, you know, over the intercom going into stores, you know, about a particular child that's, we have such and such child sitting here looking for their mother or father or whatever it is. Completely terrified. They're lost. They're scattered. The parent, although they might come, you know, it's like, "Where were you?" You know, they don't get angry. They're looking for them. They're seeking for them. And when they're found, they don't reprimand them. They hug them. This is how God responds to us. This is exactly what happens when we lose our way. When we make mistakes. When we become that sheep that wanders away from the flock. His hand is there guiding us. Leading us back home. The crowds weren't looking for rejection. They were desperate to be rescued. So when we turn it, I want us to apply it to ourselves. So who in my life is lost spiritually or physically? Who can I identify with that needs support? That's what Jesus would do, and that's what we should do. When we think about all those people that we come in contact on a daily basis, think about those people. Whether they're a part of the congregation, whether they're Christians that you know, or whether they're not Christians, just people that are in the world. Think of them how Jesus would think about them. He doesn't look at them as just strangers, just going from here to there. He looks at what they're going through, the struggles they're facing, and he has compassion on them. Perhaps find that person that you can identify. Invite them to coffee. Invite them to lunch. Do something. And while you're together, talk about spiritual things. Offer maybe a Bible study or discuss how faith impacts our daily life. Sometimes doing these sorts of things will help us and them grow significantly. Notice that Jesus, the crowds were lost. They were hurting. There were others who should have been helping them and weren't. The religious leaders knew all the scriptures. They knew what the Bible said, but they missed the heart behind it.
Right.
They missed exactly what was happening. They lacked compassion. I want us to look at three different passages, specifically looking at, we're in Matthew chapter 9. Go back a little bit earlier, beginning in verse 9. Different passages that show how the religious leaders attacked Jesus, or rather criticized him. Matthew chapter 9, beginning verse 9 says, "And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office and said to him, 'Follow me.' So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" They missed it completely. So much that Jesus, in verse 13, told them, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." See, they were very quick to point out that we do all these things for God. I go to church. I pray every day. I give tithes every day. I do this. I do this. I do this. But when it comes to showing love, when it comes to showing mercy, when it comes to showing compassion, they completely missed the boat. And so this is that perfect example, or one of the examples where the Pharisees missed it, where they criticized Jesus for who he hung out with, for the people that he was with. Let's look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Jesus was criticized for healing on the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day was considered a holy day. And as a matter of fact, there was a commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. And so the Jewish brethren, they were very careful about making sure that they didn't do overabundance. For instance, they actually marked out mile markers because it was said that on the Sabbath day, you couldn't travel over a mile. And so once they got to a mile, they couldn't go any further. They practiced it religiously. So Mark chapter 3, verse 1, and he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there with who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So they're waiting for Jesus to do something, anything that's going to cause them to be able to accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. Then he said to him, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? Good question, right?
Yeah.
Is it lawful? They kept silent. No one answered. And when he had looked around at them with anger, probably very frustrated, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored as whole as the others. Now notice verse 6 with the Pharisees, how they responded. They went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. This is early in the ministry. They were criticizing him because he did something good on the Sabbath. This isn't the only place where this is talked about in the scriptures. And this isn't the only place where Jesus addressed it. But this is a very important thing to understand. What was Jesus showing? Compassion. He was showing compassion. Luke chapter 18. Let's look at another example. Now here is a little bit different because Jesus, you know, is given a parable. In this parable, Luke chapter 18, we're going to start verse 9. Jesus was really, really hard on people who were prideful. Notice verse 9, he says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So they essentially looked down on people who were lowlier than they are. And they pointed it out. And here's what he says, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice what he says. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So two different men, two different mindsets. Jesus actually said, Matthew 23, verse 13, that these leaders were actually keeping people from experiencing the mercy of God. They were actually keeping them from entering into eternity. In John chapter 8, Jesus was with a woman caught in adultery. They had brought this woman to him. She was caught in the very act. And you remember, this is the one where they brought her to them and they were picking up stones ready to stone her. And Jesus knelt down in the dirt and began to write with his finger. Evidently, they looked at what he wrote. The Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. But in that section, in that situation, they began to, you know, walk away. Because Jesus says, he without sin cast the first stone. And they all began to leave. And Jesus turned to the woman and said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. His truth came wrapped in grace and compassion. He told her, this is what you're sinning. This is what you're doing. And so when we teach those hard truths, when we teach the gospel, when we teach what the Bible tells us that must be taught, it has to come by love. It has to come by compassion, mercy. Jesus spoke the truth, but the compassion that he had gave the healing to the people, the healing that they needed. And so another application, ask yourself, have I let the religious routine, the day in, day out, because they hardened their heart, have I let those things harden my heart? Now, I want you to think about this, because there are times when we might go through our days where maybe it gets a little frustrating. We get a little overwhelmed with stress, demanding deadlines and whatnot. And in all these circumstances, they cause us to change our perspective, change our mindset, change our attitude. When you get into that mindset, when those things happen, I want you to try and do something this week. I want you to commit to taking, when you take your breaks, I'm sure you take at some point in time, take a break, at least go to the restroom. You go to the restroom and pray and reflect on how good God is. You know, oftentimes when we go through life, it's hard to see God in our life. And so it's one of those things that I frequently teach, especially with my clients, is that I need to be able to look at my day and find God. Because if I don't, then I am, you know, I am doomed because all the bad things that happened to me. There might be days where good things happen and, well, that's a good day. But even in the midst of all the horrible things that happen, if I can reflect on where God is in my life, then it's a good day. It doesn't matter what happened. And so that's something that I think that in those moments, it will help recalibrate us. It will help turn our mind and focus so that we don't get hardened by all the garbage and all the things that happen to us every day. The religious leaders failed. And it makes something very, very clear. What God's people lacked, Jesus supplied. He's the one that gave compassion. And it was always prophesied that way. Going to the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 10, says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Psalm 23 is another one of those passages that talks about him being a shepherd. He's our shepherd. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 14. Notice Ezekiel says or writes, for thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. Verse 13, and I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. Verse 14, I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. It's no doubt that God promised and showed that he was there to take care of his children again and again and again. And it was just one of those common threads where God represented the shepherd and his people represented the sheep. But Jesus, in the New Testament, Jesus came as that shepherd. And he tells us as much. John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10. Jesus there in John chapter 10, beginning verse 7. Verse 7, he says, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. And he continues on talking about the sheep, but Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the shepherd that is true, that is going to lay down his life. And he did. But if you look at the examples of the scribes and the Pharisees, all the religious leaders who were supposed to be giving guidance, who were supposed to be teaching his people what they should do, they weren't doing it. As a matter of fact, they were doing the exact opposite. And back in the passage in Isaiah chapter 40 and Ezekiel 34, God's not too happy about it. He's not too happy about his children being led astray. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives the parable. He says, what man among you who has 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 out there standing and goes and finds the one? This is a very common illustration. I think you've probably recognize it before. You've heard it before. And he says, and when he goes out, he doesn't stop until he finds it. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoices. He comes home, he calls all his friends, all his neighbors, and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Jesus is that shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd who seeks out the one who's lost, who celebrates when they're found. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David said, verse 34 and 35, when a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. David went up against a lion. He went up against a bear to protect his flock. And unlike a hired hand, he didn't run. The shepherd, just like David, stands firm, willing to face danger for the sake of those who are entrusted. And that's what Jesus did for his children. Jesus stayed. It didn't matter the cost. It didn't matter that he was going to give his life. Back in our passage, John chapter 10, the good shepherd, he goes on to talk about how he is the one who can lay down his life. Only he. And he is the one that can take it back up again. I have the authority, Jesus says, to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Do we really trust God as our shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23. Not just for our salvation, but every single day. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, talking about worrying. What does it help? How does it help us? It doesn't. Jesus says, why worry about those things? Because God knows you need them. We should not worry. So if we go into work or we go out into the world, we find ourselves in a very toxic environment filled with conflict, filled with stress. I want you to imagine, I want you, instead of responding with frustration, committing the day to Jesus. Start with a scripture. Maybe it's Psalm 23, verse 1. Something that will remind you of God's guidance, of Jesus being your shepherd. And then when the issues arise, pause and pray for wisdom and let God shepherd you through it. If this is the heart of Jesus, then our final question is unavoidable. What does it mean for us? Well, if we are keeping Christ in us, if we are going to be true Christians, then we must be compassionate. We must be like Jesus was. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we're told to have the same mindset of Jesus. And you can't get around that passage without thinking about compassion, because he willingly gave up his life, sacrificed his own life for the good of ourselves. If we receive mercy, if we have received compassion, don't we have the responsibility of showing that same compassion to others? That's what God wants. Jesus talked about, we won't go there, Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, talks about how when we help people who are in and going through difficulties in your life, whether they are hungry or thirsty or sick or in prison even, Jesus, told them, says, when you help them, you help me. When we show compassion on people, it's just like us showing compassion to Jesus. And so I want you to think about a time when you saw someone in need. Maybe it was a friend, neighbor, whatever the person was. As you saw the need, did you cross by on the other side of the street after finding out that they needed it? Or did you lend help? Did you see the need and respond? Because that's what Jesus would have done. As a matter of fact, that's what he did. Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, that's the exact lesson that we see. It's the compassion that comes through. The priest and the Levite had no compassion. But the Samaritan, the one who was least likely to help, had compassion. Because he saw the need. Compassion always moves towards people. And so to keep the Christ in Christian, compassion must be in our center. It has to be our go-to. It has to be all the makeups and the various things. Because when we see people the way Jesus sees them and love them the way that he loved us, then it's then that we can say that we are true Christians, true followers of him. So the invitation this morning is this. Maybe you're going through a struggle in your life. Maybe you're going through the spiritual struggles we talked about or the physical struggles. Make them known, because we can't pray for you if we don't know. We can't help you if we don't know. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. You want to be one. You want to put your hands put your life into God's hands. To put it all at the shepherd's feet. God will take care of you. God takes care of all of us. And John chapter 11, he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the invitation. If you're here and you need to put him on in baptism, maybe you want to study more. Obviously, we'll study more about what that means. But whatever the need is, now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.